Good morning.
Morning.
Great to have all of you today. For those of you who are visiting, we're proud to have you with us. We did have a baptism this Wednesday night, and that's our third one in the last month. And we rejoice and we're thankful for that. And so one of our shepherds and a proud grandpa, Jerry Smith, is going to present the Bible this morning.
Ladies, you come forward. This is kind of, I got the beginning and the end, or not the end, but to this point, it was an eye-opening experience. That's not the right word, but I got a phone call Wednesday, starting the baptistry on, that Clay wants to meet with Ted. So it gives me great pleasure today to present Clay with his Bible for being baptized.
Congratulations, you've done well. That's way more being up front than Clay's comfortable with. It is a great thing. Just to share an insight with you. That turning on the baptistry is a good thing, because when it's 56 degrees in here, so is that water. And turning that heater on makes things a little better. I'll never forget Mike Bowman called me one night, and we met up here. Mike wanted to be baptized. And those of you know Mike, he's about as tough as it gets. He stepped in that water. He couldn't catch his breath, so we always try to do that. But it has been a great several weeks, and several folks have been baptized, and we just are rejoicing in that. And that really kind of leads us, is a great segue into this morning's lesson. Riding down the road this week, I was listening to a song that I'd not really ever paid very much attention to, which is not unusual. If I don't know the words, I just make them up, and as long as it kind of fits, it doesn't bother me any. And I've had folks, they often say, I don't think those are the words. And I go, well, I don't really know. That's just the way I sing it. But I listened to the words to the song, and the song was, "When I Ain't in No Hurry Today." And one of the verses leads to the fact that the singer has lived a life like Cain and plans to raise some more Cain, but at some point will get right with the Lord, but I ain't in no hurry today. And I thought, that's really the most shocking words of a song I think I've ever paid very much attention to. Now, again, I'm not sure exactly how all the words are, and I looked them up, but the sentiment was, I know I'm not right with God, but I just won't worry about that today. At some point in the future, I'll think about that. I'll work on that. But today, I'm going to continue doing what I do because I like it. There is a difference in being ignorant of the truths of God and making a conscious decision that I'm going to roll the dice, if you will. I've never understood why anyone would play Russian roulette. Those of you who don't know what Russian roulette is, it is to put one, for those of you who remember revolvers, and they're still around, but we've all gone to automatics, is putting one shell in the revolver and spinning it and putting it to your head and clicking it and playing the game, hope that that bullet is not where it will fire. Whoever even thought that up had issues to which I don't want to deal with. I don't think anybody would be in attendance if I said this Friday night, instead of playing Rook, we'll play Russian roulette together. We'll have a great meal, since it might be your last, and come play. How many are in for that? I mean, not the meal, but the Russian roulette afterwards. None of us. Not even sensible. It's not a game we'd want to play. But really, that's the sentiment of that song, isn't it? Saying, I know that I am in a spiritual position of danger, but I just won't worry about it today. I'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll pull the trigger and hope that today is not the day that it goes off. Today's not the day. Well, the scripture really speaks to that, talks to us. And I want to talk to us about folks who know. As we've talked about in our lessons, the message of Jesus was, the kingdom of heaven is passing by. We have an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. And so, how do we respond? How do we respond to our opportunity to be a part of the kingdom and to be active in the kingdom of God? We've had several over the last few weeks who have been baptized, realizing it is the time to dedicate myself or to rededicate myself to the service of God and to be washed in His blood, to be cleansed. To be cleansed. Because the opportunity is here. I want to back up just a little bit because I think it's important for us all to remember, why is the kingdom important? Why is the sacrifice of Jesus important? Why is the grace of God important to us? It's a fundamental question, one that I know that we know, but need to be reminded of, because where we live and the situation that we find ourselves is not how God intended for things to be. And it's not God's fault. And that's important to remember. It's not God's fault that we are in the situation we are. When I say that, not just individually, but as mankind. And even the scripture will talk about it. Where did sin come from? It didn't come from God, because in God there's no darkness at all, right? But through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. And with it, death and destruction. And the consequences were the curse under which we now live that affects our work, our relationships, our lives. Because the consequences of sin is death, not only physically, but God designed us at the creation to be eternal. The tree of life was in the garden. Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life. And when Adam and Eve chose to be disobedient to God, to sin, they were cast out of the garden so they couldn't eat from the tree of life and be immortal. And not only did physical death come, but we remember that God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening and had conversation and relationship with Adam and Eve. And sin put a barrier, put a separation between God and man. So not only did it bring physical struggle and death, but it spiritually separates us from God and brings about eternal judgment. And so that's the world you and I find ourselves living in. Not the perfect world God designed, not the garden that He designed for us, but a sinful world that man, with the encouragement and temptation of Satan, because I never want to discount the power of Satan in the world in which we live. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. None of us have been able to live as Jesus lived without sin, perfectly as God would have us to live. And so all of us are sinners, and the consequences of sin is death. All of us are in need of the grace of God and the sacrifice that is found in His Son Jesus and the cleansing that was purchased at Calvary with the life and blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And so all of us are in need. And the message of Jesus was the kingdom, where we get to become citizens of the kingdom and children of God. And the New Testament will tell us, joint heirs with Christ of eternal life. That opportunity presents itself to us. The privilege of hearing. The privilege of being able to know God and His truths. It's almost like electricity and water. It's so readily available that I often take it for granted. When I flip the switch, I expect the lights to come on. If they don't, I'm looking for what's wrong. We've got a thermostat at home that sets the temperature fairly close to what it's going to be. I'm going to be honest with you. In a house the age of ours, when it is close to zero, it's running, but it ain't making no progress. We didn't quite get up to temperature, but it's okay. But we expect those things. I didn't have to cut wood, any of that. We just expect it. Turn on the faucet, we expect water to come and for it to be something we can drink. But many of you grew up at a time when that wasn't the case. Little Jimmy Dickens died this week from the Opry. Always liked little Jimmy. And as someone said, he can tell those same jokes for 94 years and we'll still laugh out loud at them. But they were playing an interview with little Jimmy and talking about, did you have electricity when you were growing up in West Virginia? He said, I studied with a coal oil lamp. My mother grew up in Smyrna. She's not that old. I'll be sure to tell her I told you so. But they didn't get electricity until she was in high school. And part of that was just getting them out there. And if neighbors objected, you didn't have the right-of-ways and all they've got now, it would hold up getting electricity. Even though it was pretty readily available around, they just didn't have it. And many of you remember drawing water from a well. Our neighbors next to my mom and dad in Murfreesboro, two older ladies that in the 80s drew water out of a well. Had electricity, but did not have a pump in the house. Went out back and drew water out of a well. The reason I say those things, we become used to that water being there. To know the Scripture and to have access to the truth of God is really something relatively new in the last few years. We can turn on our televisions or our radios or now our phones and get a podcast of gospel messages. I have moved to the 21st century. I now have an iPhone. Rob shook his head. Rob has been very distressed this week, and I must share this. It is the first time in history of our lives that I have more advanced technology than he does. And I know he'll remedy that soon. I don't know how to use it, but I got it. But my Bible's right there. I can't read it. I have to get it wide enough. It's one word. But it's there. We're kind of laughing at that. But what I want us to realize is we have access to the gospel in a way that generations before us and the world have never had. Never had. And we have that access and that opportunity. Not necessarily the point of the sermon, but I will share this with you because it is truth. To whom much is given, much will be required. We live at a time when we have a tremendous opportunity to be about God's business and sharing His gospel. And I know we take that very seriously. But we have been given great opportunity of wealth and just the technology to share the gospel. And places in the world that have not had access now have access to the gospel. So the question then comes for us, because like electricity and water, the message of God is available, then this morning's lesson is, so what am I doing with God and His truths and His Son? As we begin a new year, the thought is, now what am I doing? Am I like the singer in the song that says, I like the way I'm living, I know it's not the best, but someday, not today, I'll make things right with God. Let's read from the 25th chapter of Matthew. And Matthew will talk about those who were invited to the wedding feast and who came, but who, when the bridegroom delayed in his coming, weren't prepared. Most of you are familiar with this passage. At that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you, for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Paul writes to the Thessalonians, that Houston read for us. We don't know the exact day or time, but for those of us who are Christians, we won't be caught off guard. Not that we have foreknowledge, but we just understand that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to return. We don't know when that time is. And I don't need to know. I just want to be about God's business and be watching when he comes. Well, what about this parable? The parable was they'd all been invited to the feast, to the wedding banquet. But when it was time to go in, some of them were not prepared. Now, they had been prepared in this parable, but when it came time to go in, they had run out of oil. Kind of for this morning's only, they were going to get ready, but they just hadn't made preparation. And the other five were not selfish. Because there's something, and we're taught to share. You kind of read this, and you want to go, well, those that had oil didn't share. Well, why didn't they? Because there wasn't enough. If they had shared, then they would have all run out of oil. But there's a real point here for us. We can encourage each other. We can support each other. We can be prayerful for each other. But each of us has to make preparation for the Lord's return. It's not something we can do for family or for friends or for community or even for our spouses. It's a choice and a decision that each of us makes on our own. Each of us has to make that decision and act on it. Because when the Lord comes, or when our time here is over, then the time to make preparation is past. And Paul and Jesus would say, why would you wait? Why would you tarry? Why would this not be important? Because that's the real question that all of us ask. Not only if we wait, do we endanger our lives eternally, but by not acting on the truths of God that we know, especially for those who believe, is saying, God, you're really not the most important to me. And God said from the earliest time, he developed covenant and relationship with the chosen people, that I will be your God and you'll have no other gods before me. And so the delay says, God, you're really not the most important to me. And I don't mean this as a way of fussing at us this morning, but it's the realization, what place does God have in our lives? And if we understand the gravity of where we are without God and believe the truths of his word, then how are we not moved to an appreciation for God and his kindness and his grace, his benevolence and his love for us, for him to be number one in our lives because he gave us the very best he had while we were yet sinners and called us to repentance and to hope and promise of eternal life where all of the struggles of this world are past. Not only that we'll live forever, which in certain situations ain't that great, but to live forever in a place designed perfectly for us. where there is no pain or death or curse or struggle. The former things have passed away. That's what God has done for us. Even though we have sinned and fallen short, God provided a way for our reconciliation, for our glorification, for our sanctification, and for us to receive eternal life. The Scripture is clear. Jesus is clear. I'm coming again. I'm coming back. And when I come back, those who have answered the call, those who have answered the call, I've come and receive them unto myself and into the glory of the Father. And for those who have rejected or procrastinated, who have decided, yes, I believe it and I know it's important, but it's just not the most important now, there's judgment. There's judgment. Not because God is harsh or unloving or unkind, but God is patient and giving and has given all of us the opportunity to know His truths and to make that important decision. Because before each of us is baptized and before the baptisms of the last few weeks, we ask the ever-important question. And the question is not just, do you believe in Jesus? Not do you just believe that this man Jesus existed? But do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the King, the Son of the living God? And in believing in that, are we willing to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? To live our lives in His service, being the recipients of the cleansing and the blessings of God. I would encourage you, don't worry about it today. I'd encourage you to act on it today. To act on it today. If you believe in Jesus and the truths of the Word of God, and you know today that you're not right with God, that you have never named Jesus publicly and been cleansed in the waters of baptism, or if you are a Christian today and you know that it's just not been the foremost thing in your life, I'd encourage all of us to recommit ourselves. Maybe you need to come publicly today and ask for the prayers of the shepherds in this congregation, or maybe you know that you have a sin in your life that you need to publicly confess. If you have any need today, today is the day, now is the time. As Paul would say, we're not going to be caught off guard. We know Jesus is coming. Instead of that being a day of shock, I didn't think it was coming so soon, and being a day of fear, that when Jesus returns, it will be a great day for all of us who are Christians to know that we will meet Him in the air and will forever be with the Lord. That's the opportunity each of us has today. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.